Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Back again, the Malcolm Go podcast. This is September 12th. Nope, that's incorrect. What day is it? It's September 19th
or something.
I didn't change the date on my fucking prep sheet. Very good prep, Tone. Tyler just, and Tony, back here again.
I like how you just read it blindly.
I did.
I
just went right after it. Like it
was, Ron Burgundy style.
Was. Flash Gordon tribute. By the remarkable Queen and Freddie Mercury. So I'm excited about this. Flash Gordon, New England Patriot. Although Bill Belichick will not confirm it. He is a New England Patriot. I saw him practicing today. He looks as delicious as I ever thought he would in a Patriots uniform.
Is Diesel.
Yeah.
He's fucking 6'3", a statuesque man. Of football receiving legend. It's amazing how everyone has just gone full 100% head first into the Josh Gordon train, even though he was only good 1 year and it was 2013.
I mean, even the other games, though, every single time he's stepped on the field, he's had big games. Like, yeah. He played like 3 games in 2015, had good numbers. Like, he's just talented.
He's really talented.
You can just throw him the ball. He's going to catch it.
It's a no-risk move by the Patriots. Zero risk. There were reports today where Belichick would not confirm the trade because it was not yet official yet. So the official deal with the Cleveland Browns is the Browns get a 5th-round pick. The Patriots get Josh Gordon and a 7th-round pick. It's not conditional anymore. So it was supposed to be a conditional 7th-round pick. Now it's Josh Gordon and a 7th-round pick for a 5th-round pick.
That's actually pretty much
awesome.
Because the Browns are going to finish at the bottom of the barrel. The Pats are going to be at the top. So it's only like 30 picks.
Yeah, difference. Exactly. It's like 40 picks max.
That is great.
So it's... And
another classic Belichick move.
Yeah,
Just get a guy for free.
You got a potential all-pro for free that he is on his last strike, though. He's like, you got to watch out for any Foxborough weed dealers. Patriots Place has got to shutter all their bars at night. He's got to be on fucking... They have to be on full patrol around this guy. You can't fuck up once.
It is crazy, though, that someone's been suspended this many times for weed.
And drinking. It wasn't just...
Well, drinking once, right? He didn't get... Never had a DUI or anything.
He did have a DUI.
Was it a DUI or was it just...
I don't understand.
Drunk on probation.
I don't know what happened. He had a DUI, but it was like a 0.9. So I read about it the other day. It was like... I went down his long rap sheet. His fucking long rap sheet. And he was in like North Carolina, got pulled over and had a 0.9, which is like 2 Bud Lights in an hour.
I had a 0.12 just driving over here.
Yeah, exactly. I fucking sit around at a 2.4.
Just hover at a 1.8.
Exactly. Just hang out at 2.4 at work.
Yeah. So I take care of my kids.
As we both sip beers. it's a no-risk move. How do you not make this deal? You add an all-pro caliber talent to a fucking receiving core that is almost useless on the outside. Completely useless unless McDaniels completely schemes them into crazy routes.
Yeah, like that Hogan's last touchdown was... we were talking about that play last week that they're going to... They use him Patterson on that same play, and then they do a play off it.
Yeah.
First time they do a play off it, they score a 30-yard touchdown. It's like...
And Jacksonville had quit the game. Yeah. They were already just... They were just, you know, fucking crawling towards the end. They just wanted... The game was over.
That was a weird game.
It was a terrible game.
It was... Honestly, it's like... they showed the stat, too, about the Heat. Brady is... Anytime it's over 90, he's like... 1-7 now.
Yeah, he's played in like 7 games though, which is remarkable. If he played, if he was a Miami Dolphin, he might be fucking 2-3,000 right by now. Can't handle the Heat.
It was weird.
I don't blame him. I can't handle the Heat.
I'm not a Heat guy. No. They just didn't play well. The defense didn't look good. The offense like just couldn't get it going when they needed to. But it was weird. Like Gronk having 4 targets the entire game. It's something that you would never see in a real game.
And that's the whole reason why they got Josh Gordon was because of that. It's because he can't... There's nobody... They could shut down the outside receivers with one man-to-man coverage and double and triple Gronk the whole game.
But it felt like... it almost felt like McDaniels was... You know, this was planned. We're not going to try and force the ball to Gronk. But come December, they're going to throw the ball to Gronk on a one-on-one every time. Know.
He forced it to fucking Houston in Houston, and there was no one-on-ones this game. There was no one-on-one matchup.
He was one-on-one with Ramsey in the second half a ton.
Like twice, I think. He had like 2.
I don't know. I just feel like...
He didn't play that much on one-on-one coverage on a corner. He had the safety on him with bracket coverage all game.
Yeah.
It was that kid Tayshaun Gibson all game.
That dude number...
Who should be beating.
That dude number 50 on Jacksonville is a monster.
Yeah, he's Telvin Smith.
Yeah, he's fast and he hits hard. And he's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
The Pats don't have anyone near as good as him in linebacker.
Telvin Smith and Miles Jack are 2 really fast linebackers. Yeah. And for some reason, the D-line is so good for Jacksonville, too. Like, you can't run on them, even though they get smaller linebackers, and you can't pass on them. So, I thought the first drive was really good. I mean, it was all schemed up. They fucking dominated, and then Gronkowski came out there and booted it into right field. Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Maybe his worst kick he's ever had. Yeah. I've never seen anything farther off. He missed... He would have missed 2 nets. If there was a net side by side, he would have missed the second net.
It was like right as it was like, you're like, all right, maybe this is going to hook back in. It hooked the exact opposite way.
He sliced one real hard in this game.
That was bad.
But let's finish up the Josh Gordon trade. Are you nervous about him at all?
No, because in the sense of what? Like, I don't really see him being on the team the entire year.
You don't? Yeah, see, okay, so you don't care. I'm not putting all my eggs in the basket if he's going to be like Randy Moss in like 3 weeks, you know what I mean?
No.
I don't feel like any... If you get any production out of him, I take it as an absolute positive.
Yeah, you trade a 5th, 6th round pick for him. Yeah, anything you get for him is great.
It's just, I'm nervous to the point. He'll be, he'll be out. If he doesn't work it out here, doesn't make it on this team, he's finished.
You know what's weird is, if you're the Browns, why wouldn't you just cut him?
Why? Because you can get some compensation back.
I mean,
and then that's,
is it worth it to send a guy somewhere? Why wouldn't you just be like, we don't even want to deal with him, we don't want to get anything back, just cut him to say he's useless? I mean, if he turns out to be a great player on the Patriots, it just makes you look bad.
Yeah, it's going to, no matter what. I mean, that's why they're the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, they're the Browns.
So the minute he scores a touchdown, it's going to look bad for Cleveland. It doesn't matter. I mean, if Belichick straightens this guy out somehow and he's not a fucking complete lunatic and he just stays straight and narrow his whole career and is good for New England, the Browns are going to look like absolute fools.
Yeah.
But not really. I mean, I guess they couldn't put up with it anymore. I mean, he fucked up so many times there. It's like nobody blames Cleveland for letting him go, I don't think.
I did like the rumors coming out that his agent told him to show up late on Saturday. That way he could get that way they would do something with him, cut him, trade him, get him out of there, so he could go play for someone and maybe get a contract next year.
Yeah, because he's, what's even better about the trade is that he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So the Patriots basically control him for 2 years.
And he's only
$800,000 a year.
He's getting paid
peanuts.
He's getting paid Brandon King money.
Yeah, he literally is. Him and Brandon King are fucking dueling out checks. I can't improv today at all.
It's nothing that we ever have done.
I was gonna say something, and my mind just went completely black hole.
I don't know. I think there's it's a lot of upside with really no downside, so why not make the move?
Brady doesn't seem too jazzed about it, if we're going to be honest.
There was a thing that came out today. So some guy on ESPN wrote a book about Brady in the offseason and Belichick and all this bullshit, and they said that Brady was contemplating not coming back this year. Not coming back to football, but not to the Patriots.
Yeah, he wanted a divorce, right, that we're talking about?
Yeah, it's like, it's the same argument. It's so bullshit. I don't buy it at all.
Well, I listened to Teddy Bruschi explain it, and he was like, you've been there 18 years. It's hard to play for the Patriots. Bill Belichick himself has said that he's a hard coach to play for, that it's not for everybody. After a while of being, you know, you're not praised in that building. I think you're beaten down a lot, and you're treated like, you know, football players and not like stars, superstars. Doesn't matter how many games you've won in the past or Super Bowls, MVPs, things you've won in the past. I think that Belichick treats everybody like it's their first day of football, and he's coaching you up. He's breaking you down constantly to make you all stronger and as a team, more than he is caring about people's feelings. So I think that Tom Brady, Bruschi said, you know, he wants a little bit more, you know, admiration or something out of Belichick.
Yeah.
And
I think McDaniels gives it to him. I think that's the reason why McDaniels stays, because I think Belichick and McDaniels are, you know, real tight.
Yeah. Brady is.
Brady was probably gone if McDaniels is gone.
I doubt that he was going to go anywhere. I mean, could you imagine the backlash? He's a Boston, not that he would change after a while, but he is a Boston sports hero, legend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's him, like Ted Williams, fucking Larry Bird, there's like
Bobby Orr,
yeah. And those are like the four Mount Rushmores of Boston sports, right? And imagine if they traded Jimmy Garoppolo to keep you, because you think you want to play till 45, and then you decide in March you don't want to play here anymore. Can you imagine the backlash he would face after you just won MVP and were in the Super Bowl and should have won the Super Bowl? You know what I mean?
God damn, they just won the Super Bowl. It would have been so much easier.
It would have been. He could have just walked away then. He would have been fine. Six Super Bowls.
Or they would have came back and not had to hear any. They could have done whatever they wanted this offseason. Yeah. He could have showed up week one, not even showed up in preseason.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's too much now to think that it's not true. But I think that Brady is tough enough, mentally strong enough to go through anything. And I think that, just like Bruschi said, he's like, it's so hard when you're, you know, for me, it was like year 12 or year 10. It was hard to get there every single day. The wins make it better, but to go in there every single day, get broken down, like think you have a good game and then have you told that, you know, you played like shit it gets to you after a while.
Yeah, that's something. I think around week 10, once they're 8-2 or something like that, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, all right,
yeah,
we're fine again. Like, we can ease up a little bit on this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Belichick's just a type. He's just an old school football coach. He's not a player's coach at all. He's a fucking,
no,
he's a disciplinarian. He's that type of guy that runs a tight ship, and it's not a democracy. You know, he fucking is the Führer. He's the fucking, he's the head of everything, and he doesn't care if the players hate him. He just wants everyone to be a team and fucking run his concepts and his whole idea of team first. That's it. You know, and can Josh Gordon do team first? We'll see. I'm not sure. Segway.
I think as long as he's practicing fine and all that bullshit, he'll
got
fine.
One practice under his belt. He did not get suspended today, so that's good.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Their offense really is not. I don't really think it's an issue.
The offense is an issue. It was against a team like Jacksonville.
But I feel like again they're doing things they wouldn't do in. A playoff game or a game they need to win down the stretch. Like, they ran Sony Michel. They gave him the ball on 3rd and 6.
Yeah.
Like, at midfield. It's like, that's not a play you'd run.
The wide receivers could not separate at all. He could not get. I saw a stat today that Brady has, like, the least passing yards to a wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Oh, by far, I would imagine it's not even close. Yeah. But
all he does is throw to tight to Rob and to fucking James White. That's it.
But James White, I want to look up a stat as touches per first downs, because I feel like every time he gets the ball, he gets a first down. That guy is a monster.
He's great, but what's flashing in my head right now is Super Bowl 51, and I know for a fact what I'm about to say is incorrect. But it's the pure fan in me that James White cannot be your most targeted receiver if you're going to keep winning games.
Edelman's coming back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Edelman's coming back. By the way,
so again, this it's like we me. Can move. It's like as soon as Edelman comes back, we don't have to talk about this anymore because it's like we don't have receivers. We don't have receivers, but we do. We have.
You have Edelman,
maybe the best slot receiver in football.
Which brings me to my next point, which is I think that this might be a hot take. But the pure slot receiver, or the Edelman type, the Troy Brown type, Danny Amendola type, is more value to the New England Patriots than Rob Gronkowski is.
Oof.
Think about it. They've won one Super Bowl with Rob Gronkowski. They won 5 with those type of receivers. Every single Super Bowl and AFC Championship game they've been to, and Super Bowl they've been to, has been because they had that first down maker, slot receiver type. Troy Brown for the first run. None of them have been Hall of Famers. Patriots Hall of Famers, maybe. But none of them have been Hall of Fame players like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, but
they've won a Super Bowl with Martellus Bennett at tight end.
Well,
Christian Fourier.
I just think the difference is that Gronk is that guy. Gronk is the closest to a slot receiver. Like, he almost is a slot receiver.
Kind of. But
so I don't think the comparison's like, it's like they're almost the same player. Gronk's just like a bigger guy doing it.
We're arguing more valuable. What's more valuable, the Edelman, Amendola, Troy Brown type,
Welker,
and Welker, of course, and
he, which I would say he is the best out of the bunch.
It's hard for me to go over Edelman these days.
I know, but
Troy Brown was always my second favorite Patriot, but I don't think he's
I
as
love
good
Troy
as,
Brown.
He's not as good as Edelman is.
Welker put up like 115 catches. Edelman's never broke 100.
I don't know if he has, but I think he did once, but Welker was...
Consistently broke 100.
Invented the position, basically.
Welker was a monster.
He was putting up 112 catches a season for like eight straight years. Yes, but... I want to continue on Josh Gordon trade before we get into the Jacksonville game. Do you think this sends the wrong message to the players that are on the team now?
No.
You don't? Coming in, taking a guy that's a character concern
Well, Garrett Blunt punched a player in the face after the game in his last college game he ever played in.
An all-time moment.
And it was a haymaker. It was a great haymaker to some fucking...
this white buffoon from Boise State.
Yeah, just probably his uncle. One of his uncles was in the KKK.
Yeah.
And, like, this fucking idiot with a giant beard, and they
took
just
a
beat
shot
him.
Right at
him. And he just fucking cold-clocked
him
with a fucking...
That guy was celebrating his face off right in front of Blunt, and Blunt was like, that's it.
Didn't give a fuck.
No.
Another guy who also smoked weed... and got suspended for games.
Yeah, a couple games. Garrett Blunt.
Yeah. No, I don't think it matters. They look at the person. They don't. I don't think they're looking at
a lot of people.
The actions.
They like. I think the locker room will embrace him better.
Yeah.
I think that they're gonna go. You know, treat him like a teammate. He's gonna have to figure out. He can't be like he was in Cleveland. Yeah. I didn't watch Hard Knocks, but from what I was told, he was aloof. The Mike Lombardi of the world wrote on The Athletic about how he doesn't seem to love football. He's got a, like, he says that it's going to be the hardest day of his life every single day in Foxborough.
Maybe, but at the same time, he got pretty much fucked by the league, I think. And I think the players look at it like that, too. Like, there's no way you should be get suspended a full year for smoking weed, ever. If that's the rule, yeah, but it's a fuck. You're allowed to take as many pain pills as you want.
Yeah, they from inject game to game. Your knee. Fucking. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers sprained his knee, can barely practice, but he fucking played the second half of that game and won. What do you think they were doing in the locker room? They were injecting him like Varsity Blues.
Exactly. And so, and then you're going to turn around and say weed is an issue?
Yeah.
I also have a soft spot in my heart for, people with troubled pasts.
Yes.
As I myself have seen the inside of the clink once or twice.
the alcohol thing, I think it was crazy. That he was like, he was suspended for drinking beer with Johnny Manziel or something like that.
That's another one. It's just like kind of...
How can you get suspended for drinking when you're over 21? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's a weird rule.
See, that's the thing. I don't think anyone on the team is looking at Josh Gordon as a bad guy. He didn't beat his wife. He didn't fucking take guns. He didn't do anything that's fucking violent. He's just a guy who smokes weed occasionally.
Likes to party. He's got some serious mental issues too. I think it's more than smoking weed with him. It's more of, I think that he's anxious and got depression issues. Unlike your host here at Malcolm Go Pod.
Tony's just trying to wedge every guy into having depression issues as well. No, this guy's just like me.
He's just like me. I could be just like him. Look at him. He's a star athlete.
No, but another reason why coming to the Patriots might be great for him.
Yeah. So I think that Belichick, I mean,
is
going to
softy.
He's going to surround him with support systems. Yeah. And make sure that he knows. I mean,
and check best, on him and all that.
One of the things is, I went on a hot date with my wife not so long ago, probably about 7 years ago. And we were at Abe and Louie's, which is a nice steakhouse in town.
One of the nicest.
Sitting right next to us is one Brandon Marshall and his agent. And I'm like, it was the off season, and I said, is Brandon Marshall coming to the Patriots? Because he was like right in his Miami days, and he was dominant receiver at the time. And, he went in the bathroom. I followed him in.
Of course.
You know, see what he was working with. Measure up. Yeah. We're about the same size. No big deal.
That's how you got your wife.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so it turns out that obviously he was not coming to the Patriots, but he was getting treated for, mental health. He had bipolar disease and all that stuff. So he came to Boston to get his, life in order, basically. So maybe that's something that Josh Gordon can look into. A nice mental health associate here at Harvard.
I've never heard a player talk bad about Belichick as like a guy.
No, never.
They talk bad about him as, either he was a dick of a coach or
pushed
him to, a little hard ass, all that shit. But they never talk about him as a single player would be like, that guy is a fucking asshole.
Problem is he knows how to win. There's a proven track record. There's 5 banners. 8 Super Bowl appearances under his belt in 18 years. He knows how
13 AFC championships,
He just knows how to do it.
Yeah.
People understand that. People are willing to sacrifice everything to get, what the Patriots are putting out. And I think that he's going to put a support staff around Josh Gordon to, support him and make sure that he's got what he needs to succeed. Because
if not just for football, just as a got human. Just as a person. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully it works out. I mean, it's good that
this could be your opportunity to get in, Tone.
What's that? Me and Josh Gordon?
Yeah, maybe they'll recruit you as the chat. Yeah, I know a few things. I know football.
All I would know is here, take a Xanax, take an Ativan.
I'm a local podcaster.
That's all my
here.
Doctors say to do. You nervous? Take an Ativan or take 12, take 13.
Yeah, just keep going.
These doctors.
They really do panic.
It's perfect. He really fits in perfectly with the Patriots wide receiver. He's not a white receiver, which bucks the trend, but he's got a white wide receiver's name. So
we only have one white receiver right now.
Well, Edelman will be back soon.
Yeah. And then Dorsett and Patterson.
But that's the bit. Everyone loves going with that.
They do like that.
It's always the talk in the town that the Patriots love white receivers. So anyway, breaking down this Jaguars loss.
All right, yeah, because the next thing I was going to say is the offensive line.
I thought they were the best personnel group of the day. Well, compared to anything else, they were the best personnel group.
They have two giant holes. And Cannon, apparently he hurt his calf, is what they said. That's a problem. Because
Adrian Waddle looked like garbage.
He's so slow. He has the slowest feet of all time. Yeah. Cannon's actually a legit tackle. Like, he's probably their best offensive lineman when healthy. And Tooney is just not that good.
No, and that's why I think they drafted Isaiah Wynn, was to take over left guard. That's what I think they wanted to do. And,
done the
Tooney is getting blown up left and right.
Yeah,
I mean, Jacksonville's not the easiest team, and neither is Houston the easiest team to fucking play offensive line against. But
Tooney's like oddly small.
Yeah,
he has like stupid short, stubby arms. He's fucking. Big.
He's not prototypical Patriots left guard.
No, he's not Mankins or any of those.
That's what I mean. The Logan Mankins of the world, which is like a mauler. Which Shaq Mason is kind of the mauler type, but he's smaller. He's just like a fire hydrant of a guy.
But he's a
like,
beast.
Yeah, he's a beast, but he's like 6'1", you know what I mean? He's not 6'5", killer.
Who's the guard they had that retired for concussions? He returned the kickoff almost for a touchdown.
Connolly.
Connolly was great. Yeah. That was the guy that killed him because he was going to be there for probably still could have been here. He only played for a couple of years until he retired because of concussions.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, Mankins was a stud. I mean, there's been a litany of great left guards, you know, that Belichick's had. But the whole left side of the line has been consistently solid for 18 years. Yeah. You know, before it went Bruce Armstrong to Matt Light to Nate Solder, and now Trent Brown looks good. I mean, he's not.
Yeah, he's solid.
He's not he's not going to blow anybody's doors off, but he's fucking a decent left tackle. He's not going to kill you.
He's not something you're going to worry about going into a game, though.
He's a solid pass protector.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of slow getting out in, like, screens and shit like that.
Yeah, that's not his game.
He's a lumbering 380-pound.
He's definitely lumbers everywhere.
Have you ever seen his face? He just looks like a big baby to me. His face is a perfect circle. He just looks like a big baby. I don't get it.
He just has the longest arms ever, too.
He's a giant. So, accountability check. What was your prediction? I had 17-14 Jags. You had the Pats going.
I had 23-3.
You had them going big, didn't you?
Honestly, Blake Bortles played great.
Yeah, he played great.
He really did. In those catches, some of the receivers were making, that guy grabbed the ball by the top like it was a snow.
I was asking them to check his glove. Yeah. Check that glove. That was not a fucking legal catch.
No.
It made no sense whatsoever that he could. He caught the cone of the ball in between his fingers with a full outstretched arm over his head. Made no sense.
They just kept making, like, every third down play, they would make it. And then the Pats, they had some unlucky breaks. Like, Flowers punches the ball out, and
flies right into a guy's arms.
The other team just recover it.
Yeah.
He catches it on one hop and runs for 15 yards.
Yeah.
It's like that type of shit killed them. They could have really, I don't know. I think a couple bad bounces, but I really felt like the Pats, it wasn't like they got blown out.
No, but it was heading that way, and the Patriots didn't quit, which I give them credit for, and that's what you always got to see out of a Patriots team. Like, even that big loss in 2014 at Kansas City, they were losing 41 to fucking nothing or something, whatever it was. They ended up losing, like, 41-14, but they didn't quit, you know. They went in, and they kept fucking trying to score touchdowns, keep trying to stop them. They didn't quit.
I will say this. That last drive they scored on, they started the drive off with, like, 5 runs to Burkhead.
Yeah.
And he got, like, 40 yards or something out of him. Like, he kept breaking runs. But it didn't. There was like 9 minutes left in the game. They're down by, I don't know.
There was a 17. Chance. There was when Bortles threw that interception to Van Noy. They were on the 20-yard line
down 11.
Down 11. They could have brought it easily and scored, won the game.
Yeah, right with there. Like 13 minutes left. There was a lot of time left. Yeah,
The game was far from over, and they fucking... There's where Ladry and Waddle's slow feet crept in and fucking gave up a strip sack. Killed you.
Waddle is just bad.
He's not good. I mean, there had to be a right tackle. There had to be a right tackle there. I mean, a tight end there chipping because it was... He just was getting beat right off the line.
Who's the guy that left and went to the Cowboys? The tackle they had last year. Number 77.
Yeah, I know
Fleming.
Who you're talking about. Fleming, yeah.
He would be great to have, but he actually got paid decent money. But
yeah, the Cowboys paid up for him. They basically had their pick terrible. Because it was like they brought in him and Adrian Waddle at the same time for workouts, and they basically picked who they wanted. And the Patriots were like, eh, we'll just take Adrian Waddle back.
It's just bad.
Yeah, he's not quick enough at all to play. He's
not strong. He doesn't do anything well.
No, he's an average tackle at best.
He's not average. He's probably bottom half of the league. Easy.
He's a swing tackle. I mean, he shouldn't be on the field. But Marcus Cannon, I swear to you, he's fucking hurt constantly.
Yeah.
He's always fucking hurt.
But after that, I mean, I thought Sony looked real good.
He did. He played really well.
I didn't think he was that big.
He looks fucking big. He's got to be 5'10".
Yeah, and he's like 220. He ran that safety over.
Yeah, he was
which
a
I was
bull.
Like, oh shit. I thought he was like a little. I thought he was gonna be smaller than White, like skinnier than White, just faster.
No, he looks good out there.
No, he's big.
I was not happy he dropped that first pass. Maybe that was jitters.
Yeah,
whatever it was.
I mean, yeah, I was fine. I mean, that's not. He won't do that for long. That was just.
I think he's gonna have a big week this week because Detroit's got the worst run defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see Sony Michel rack up a fucking 100 and go in for fucking a score, you know?
It does really make things a lot better that, because I thought losing Hill, they were going to be done. I didn't think he was going to be able to run at all, but he actually.
Sony Michel could be your big back.
Yeah.
He's definitely big enough to run up, you know, through, you know, in between the tackles, bull somebody over. He ran over the safety, like you said. He's got to catch the ball better. He's got to run better routes. He was a little bit shaky out there running into the flat, but he looked good. I was really disappointed in Gronk, but I think that a lot of that had to do with Brady just was making decisions not to throw to him because he was just double covered all game. It was the only people that were ever open was James White.
Yeah.
That was it. And fucking bubble screens, the Cordarrell Patterson.
James White, he's just so good.
He's really good, yeah.
He really is a stud.
Yeah, he's just... I mean, it's so boring. It's like that offense can only work for so long. It gets, you know, it's not open in the red zone. You can't.
Well, that's what you expect Gronk, even double covered.
Yeah.
You'd make it. But also with Edelman coming back, it's like one of those guys is going to be open. One of them's going to have a mismatch. They can't double both of them. One of them's going to get put on some shitty linebacker. Like, they're going to make plays.
Yeah. They're going to make plays. I never thought that the offense wasn't going to score points this season. It just. It's a struggle to move down the field against good defenses. Like, I mean, they did decently well against Houston, but Houston might be a flop. I mean, they went and lost to Tennessee against Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
They might be a fucking flop this season. Who knows? They might suck.
I don't know how many good defenses there are in the league. Minnesota.
Two. Minnesota and fucking
Jacksonville
are good. That's about it.
The Eagles don't really impress me as a good defense.
The Patriots can beat that defense left and right.
In the AFC, there's... I can't think of a single other
one. I guess Miami's looked okay.
The Jets always kind of...
No, they
stink. Again, they're not good.
Buffalo's got a halfway decent defense, but...
Buffalo might be the worst team in football.
They might be, which is surprising. They were in the fucking playoffs last year. They got players retiring at halftime now.
That was so... Oh, I fucking love that.
What did he just fucking... I didn't even watch the game. He just walk out of there.
That must feel... And the best was all he had to do was show up to week one. And all his money was guaranteed, $5 million for the year, as long as he made the week one roster.
Yeah.
So he got paid for the entire year and just said, fuck this.
I'm going to retire.
Oh, that feels so good.
He bounced at halftime, says, I'm not coming out.
I remember when I got laid off at my last job when Trump got into office. They laid me off. And
laid you off personally?
Oh, yeah. That was it. And they asked me, they were like, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. They're like, all right, so we're going to have to let you go. We're going to give you a couple weeks pay, whatever. I was like, does that mean I get to go now? And they're like, yeah, you can go. You just got to say bye to everyone or whatever. I was like, But right now, I can just leave.
You can just leave and give me a few weeks.
I was like, this is fucking awesome. It's the best day ever.
I get paid, and I can just go home.
Yeah.
I would have went right to a bar. I wouldn't have cared what time it was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You get hammered, it's fucking awesome.
Talk to somebody about your troubles. I lost my job today.
I was dreading the next 7 hours of work so much when I could just leave. It was fucking great.
Was this the ice delivery job?
No, you don't get weight off from ice.
No. Ice is flush with employees and money.
No, this is I worked for the EPA for a minute. A hot minute, trying to save the planet.
How'd that work out for you?
I made a lot of paper copies. I feel like we're really not...
counterproductive. It's a bit counterproductive.
Exactly.
So, complete silence from the wide receivers. Complete silence. I thought the fucking... There was no action whatsoever from fucking Dorsett. Hogan had a good game, but it all came late.
Hogan had a few good plays. That was it.
But it was it wasn't on one-on-one coverage.
No.
It was against that dumb zone that they fucking run, and he split the seam on one. I don't know. It was hard to tell if he was beating coverage or if Jacksonville was just like, all right, keep the guy in front of you, and they fucked up a couple times.
Yeah, it just he didn't have an impactful game. Like, if you look at his stats, then you're like, oh, he had a good game. It's like,
two touchdowns and 40 yards.
Yeah.
Dorsett.
On three catches, it's like nothing.
Dorsett had, minimal yards.
I don't even know.
He must have been under 50. Patterson was wide open, and Brady threw it away because of
Patterson fell on the other one.
Patterson fucking was backpedaling for some stupid fucking reason. I'm really starting to get bugged by him, I'll tell you right now. Every time he's on the field, he gets the ball, and every single time it's a 3-yard run, or he fucks it up and falls. He tries to make too many moves. He reminds me of Lawrence Maroney, like a guy that is fucking jittery behind the line of scrimmage.
That fucking pitter-pattering idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Toe-tapping, fucking dancing behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know what he was trying to do. The most athletic guy in the team, he gets the ball and falls. He would have got a first down. That fucked the whole game up.
But if you look at Patterson now, his new role with Edelman and Gordon potentially, like he could be great.
Yeah, he's good, but he's such a fucking. I said it last week. It's a fucking alarm when he goes on the field.
Yeah,
they might as well be wearing a siren on the top. Well, a little fucking cherry from the police, the old 1920s police cars. Yeah, put it on his helmet because he's getting the ball every time he goes on the field.
But when he's your third wide receiver, it's a problem. But if he's your fifth wide receiver, then all of a sudden you have some weapons and he could potentially make some plays.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he's starting to annoy me a little bit, I'm being honest. But, I mean, that crossing route, he would have went for fucking 80 yards. Brady completely missed him. It was right in front of his face, too. He just threw it away way too quick. I just think that it's such a fucking, I don't know, it's just such a giveaway.
It also felt like Brady was getting hit a bunch, and towards the end of the game, they're like, fuck this, we're not going to let him sit in the pocket and take hits week two. Let's just try to run the football and get out of here with everyone healthy.
Fire it down the field a little bit.
Which is actually the opposite of what happened to the defense.
Yeah.
Losing Flowers and Wise could be killer.
And Chung.
Chung is actually...
Wise was actually at practice today. He looked like he dislocated his finger or something. But Chung.
What's up with Flowers?
They both got concussions. Flowers looked like he got a bad concussion.
Yeah.
Chung was like, they just pulled him out of the game and nobody knew when he got a concussion.
Yeah.
The NFL fucked it up. They were investigating what happened because nobody could spot that he got a concussion. I mean, Flowers was obvious. He was down on the ground and fucking probably in Queersville.
That's tough. I mean, we need Flowers is probably the biggest guy on the defense.
Yeah, he's the best player on the defense.
Yeah, him or Gilmore.
Yeah, I mean, Gilmore had a great game.
Gilmore is a stud.
Yeah, he played really well.
And he likes it.
He gave up like 30 yards. He made that great third down stop.
That was perfect. Bortles. He baited him perfectly. Like he pretended like he was turning around, and then as soon as it was ready, he just turned back and fucking smoked him.
Yeah, Gilmore looks really good in his second season.
Yeah,
Flowers is a huge loss.
Flowers could be a real problem.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he clears concussion protocol.
Luckily, they have a lot of depth there.
They do.
But still, it's like it doesn't. Yeah.
But the depth is tested because Keontae Davis was getting blown out of the hole this week, and I thought it was now time for Derek Rivers to come up and play. He has to play this week.
Well, he's going to play this week with Rivers.
Absolutely, he's going to play because I doubt Flowers is going to be back this week.
Claiborne looks okay. He still makes some like dumb mistakes, but
he overran the quarterback three times.
Yeah.
And gave up long third down rushes. He's only they signed Claiborne, it seems to be just a pass rusher in third down.
Yeah.
So that's basically their whole vision for him. He's not out there setting an edge doing shit like that. That's for Keyonte Davis, Trey Flowers, Wise. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But fucking Claiborne's out there supposed to be pass rushing on third down, and he overran the quarterback every single time.
Yeah.
And gave up long runs.
Bortles is sneaky, a good runner.
Yeah, he's a really good
runner. He's like a poor man Cam Newton.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a poor man Cam Newton, but he's a poor man's Ben Roethlisberger, let's say.
Yeah, a little more athletic, yeah.
He's big. He's fucking... But the problem with the Patriots' defense is it looks like they exactly how they looked in the Super Bowl. They've done nothing on this defense, linebacker-wise, able to stop these quick, shallow crossers.
They're a nightmare. They're so slow. Hightower might not finish the season. He might retire like week 9.
He looks slow.
He is real bad.
He's looking really slow.
I heard someone saying that he might have arthritis in his knees.
Arthritis? What is he, 80?
Is that grandmother?
Yeah. My nana out there.
But yeah, that's what they're saying. Arthritis in his knees and he can't run. Like, he might not finish the season. That's how
dire it is.
He just looks so slow.
All of them. I mean, Bentley, Van Noy. Van Noy's the only one that's fucking making plays out there.
And he doesn't really make plays.
With any speed.
And he's like their best one, and he's bad.
They really need to rebuild this linebacker core. They've missed a whole opportunity. They've lost the whole reason they, you know, the games that they sucked last year against Kansas City, against Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, were this side horizontal offenses that fucking run these shallow crossers in front of you. And you're supposed to go sideline to sideline with fast linebackers like Jacksonville has.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything like that.
That's what sucks.
They did nothing to change that.
When you watch the other team's linebackers chase down like Dorsett on the sidelines, you're like, oh shit, guys actually do this? Like this is, we don't have, they are just bad.
Linebackers are just not fast enough to do it. The communication, it's the same thing they were doing the first 4 weeks last year where they couldn't figure out bunched coverages of corners. I mean, of wide receivers, of trips to the right. They couldn't figure out like who was getting who. Yeah. Guys were getting wide open left and right.
Yeah.
And these linebackers are just so fucking slow. They can't chase down me running a shallow crosser. I mean, these guys were wandering just wide open. If any wide receiver runs a shallow crossing route 1 yard from the line of scrimmage, he's wide open.
Yeah.
Then nobody touches him.
And Chung was basically the guy who they're kind of relying on to... He played a ton in the box this week because they just played like 5 up front, 2... They played 8 in the box almost the entire game. And now that he's hurt too, that's like, they're in deep shit.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know. Concussions are weird. Some guys are back in 3 days. Some guys take... Like last year, Gilmore was out 4 weeks with a concussion.
That was not a concussion. That was, you don't know the defense. Yeah, you're not getting on the field until you can know the defense.
Yeah, he got an in-season Foxborough flu.
Yeah, he 100% was, you're fucking up and we're not going to let this happen until you figure out the defense.
Yeah. So, not only was the sideline to sideline linebacker defense shit, the run defense was shit in this game.
Yeah.
And I brought it up last week, was the third down running back, the third down passing back that everyone knew was a problem. The same kid torched us for last year was untouched coming out of the backfield. I don't know what the problem is. They cannot figure out a guy leaking out of a backfield. It can't be that hard. I mean, there's always a linebacker sitting in the fucking zone.
It's just, I don't
know. He's got to be accounted. He's always accounted for.
It's almost like you look back to those last few years past where, like, 2014, they go 2-2 to start the year. The defense looks pathetic. Yeah. Everything's last year, they were real bad to start the year, and then they rattled off, like, 8 straight games with only allowing, like, you know, 10 to 14 points a game. So it's like some of it's like, do you think this is just scheming-wise that they're doing something? Or it's tough to tell if the defense isn't good enough.
I don't think the players are the players there. I think that they're fine. And I think that the scheme is just Belichick spends the first 4 weeks, and it's cliche at this point to bring it up, but he treats the first 4 weeks like extended preseason. He's still figuring out what players he has. He's still taking players from other rosters.
Yeah.
He's figuring out who he's got, where they're best fit, and then he goes out there and like week five really turns it on. You know what I mean?
It's weird though, like to think that they have all these problems at linebacker and they cut Marquise Flowers.
Who I thought was a, you know, he was a fast,
yeah,
good linebacker that they needed. They needed.
He was the third down linebacker that you could put in coverage. He could rush the pass. He could do a bunch of stuff. And
he was fast. He ran like 4.4.
And they just cut him.
He's on Detroit now.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. He's on Detroit.
Patricia picked him right up, huh?
Yes. So, I mean, Patricia fucking knows that the guy is valuable. I mean, he got beat up by that kid Grigsby, but Grigsby's not playing on defense. Grigsby is another fast linebacker, outside linebacker type, but he's only playing special teams. Yeah, he's just a special teamer. He's a guy they got off like Ravens practice squad or something.
There was a big third down in this game where they had Nate Ebner playing middle linebacker.
Love it.
And he got absolutely burnt.
No idea what he's doing out there. Love it.
It wasn't like a tough play. It was like a tight end just ran like a... Yeah. Like almost like your Pop Warner, five-yard out at the
sticks.
There's
no way that he has any idea what's going on with that defense.
No.
He spends all his time in fucking special teams meetings.
And watching
rugby videos.
Australian 7-on-7 rugby.
Does not give a shit about the defense.
No, he
went out there. He probably doesn't even know how defense is played in the NFL or in football whatsoever. He's confused that people aren't kicking each other and booting out teeth.
It's almost like last year when they fucking put that fucking... You know, we're not going to mention his name, but he wore the jersey 37.
Yes.
It's almost
player
like when they
formerly known as.
Yeah. They tried to put him out there on fucking linebacker. It's like, if this is what they're going to, they really might be in a little bit of shit.
They always figure it out. They fucking coach it up and put guys in the right positions. It's just coaching that needs to be done. They just need to figure it out better. I mean, the guy, they're just a little bit behind. I think Flores is getting a little too aggressive. He has better players this year than Patricia had last year.
Yeah.
He just needs to fucking... You just got to figure out what Flores is all about here. Can he fucking scheme a defense better than Patricia can? Because Patricia could... For all that everyone shit-talks him and how shitty the defense looks in the first 4 weeks, they always end up, like, top five in the league in points.
Yeah.
No matter how many yards they give up, they always end up, like... They were always ending up in, like... under 20 points a game given
and
up.
If you would take your emotion out of it watching a game,
yeah,
you'd be like, and just looked at it by the facts and the stats and everything, you'd be like, all right, that's a really good defense. Yeah. But watching the game, you're like, this is a fucking nightmare. Then no one makes play, but it kind of always
nobody's
worked out.
Stopping shit. And then you get down and then they get into the fucking zone and they compress the field down. They let guys do whatever they want in between from 20-yard line to the 20-yard line. Mm. And once these guys get in the red zone, they just cramp down and fucking hopefully, you know, they stop them usually and make them kick field goals.
The difference is I think this defense, like, they're looking to cause turnovers. I mean, everyone's punching the football. Yeah. They're trying to make picks. They're trying to make plays. Like, it seems a little different than... They're definitely more aggressive at going after players.
Yeah, they look a lot tougher than they did last year. There's a little bit more excitement. I think people like playing for Flores a little bit more than they like playing for Patricia. But they're giving up bigger plays, and they still can't cover sideline to sideline. But that's not going to change. That's going to happen all year. So hopefully, I mean, there's not many offenses in the NFL that are like that. Kansas City and Philadelphia, I can think of, are two of them. And we play Kansas City at home in a few weeks, who looks like a juggernaut. So, I don't know. They made Blake Bortles look like fucking Peyton Manning. That was his best game he's ever played.
That's the other thing, though. You want to be like, all right, well, how the fuck could they lose to Bortles like that? But it's like, it's not like he was making bad throws. He was making great plays.
He was making easy throws, too. But he was also making tough throws on the fucking along the perimeter and the cornerbacks. I mean, the corners are on the fucking guys, but he's dropping them in the bucket.
Both times Rowe got beat, they were good passes. Rowe was in coverage. He was right there and he just made good plays.
There's nothing you can do about like that fucking that one hand catch, the deep balls. I mean, there's nothing you can really do, but They just outplayed the Patriots in every facet. Yeah. One thing I was nervous about going in, and they didn't do, was matching the Jaguars' emotion. Because I knew that the fucking Jaguars...
They were all fired up.
They were all fired up. It was a fucking revenge game. It's always like that. I mean, they lost to Seattle a couple years ago because Seattle wasn't a revenge game. You know, even though it was at Foxborough, it didn't matter. You know, the Patriots are playing it like it's fucking week two. Like, we're still getting our shit together, and you're treating it like it's the AFC Championship game again.
Yeah.
And the thing with Jacksonville is their team didn't turn over at all. The Patriots had a good amount of turnover, especially on offense.
Yeah.
Jaguars are the same fucking guys.
Yeah, they really were way too, like, they were all, it's kind of the, this is how I go into almost every second date I'm ever on. Like, oh, this could be my wife. And the other one's like, I thought we were just going bowling.
We said we're getting pizza. I was getting it from my cousin.
Yeah, just relax, you fucking psychopath.
The problem now is, now you face a situation where it's, like, Jacksonville looks really good. Like, I could see where, like, maybe their offense might stumble against somebody.
Yeah, but they,
like,
might lose this week. Like, off a big win.
Yeah,
they could be that cliche team that, like... You know,
just put all their emotion into one game.
Yeah, take it easy. They don't really pay attention. And all of a sudden, they blow into fucking, I don't know who, Indy or some dumb team.
Some stupid thing. But now you're, like, in a situation where unless you finish with better record than Jacksonville, you take the chance with having to go to Jacksonville in the playoffs.
I'm not worried about going to Jacksonville in the playoffs. I'm really not worried. I don't think.
Once this offense gets fucking fully going and the defense gets their shit together. I mean, it's going to be... I think the Patriots are going to be, again, a tough out.
Also, I don't see... I don't see Bortles not having six bad games this year.
Yeah.
He's not good.
And he's fucking... I've seen him twice. And every single time he plays good. I don't get it. I know he's like this... He's like this fucking... Everyone dogs him and trashes him. But every single time he plays the Patriots, he plays fucking like Peyton Manning.
If you're a gambler, you know, you watch him. You're like, oh, Jacksonville's fucking 5-1. Here we go. And then you bet him and you're like, this guy came with a fucking ball 10 yards. It's like watching Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
He might be the worst quarterback in football because if you bet him and you're like, all right, I need Dak to make a play right here. They're down 7. He is fucking terrible.
I do think the Cowboys hedged their bets. I mean, didn't hedge their bets well. I think they put their eggs in all in the Dak basket, and it was a bit of a misfire.
He's not that good.
No.
He had that great year with that awesome team.
He had a great offensive line, a good defense, a great running back.
And that's what Bortles is the same situation. Like, if you're not good quarterback, you can't be just rely on that all for how many years? Like, he has no receivers. That guy Cole is... He made a couple of catches.
He was fucking making plays left and right. He was burning our fucking guys.
How many would catches be a perfect, did he have? 4?
I don't know, but he'd be a perfect Patriots wide receiver. He's super quick, and he was making outcuts and leaving Eric Rowe in the dust. Like, simple outs he was running and leaving guys fucking 10 yards behind. He was... I could have covered
Bortles
him just as
witted good. Up.
Yeah. What'd he do?
He went 29 for 45 for 376 and 4 touchdowns. And Cole had 7 catches for 116.
Yeah, I'd like to know how many times he was targeted because I bet you he was fucking less than 10. I feel like every single time they threw the ball to him, he was wide open. He was either 7 of 7 or 7 of 10 or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, he had a good game. I'm just not... This team does not intimidate me at all. Offensively, I don't... They're okay.
Yeah. But a team like that is a team that wins in the playoffs. A good running team that fucking has a quarterback that's too dumb to realize that he stinks. and has a great defense.
It's Flacco's biggest attribute.
It's a Flacco team.
He doesn't realize how bad he is.
It's an Eli Manning team. It's just the fucking same. It's that bullshit. The fucking quarterback will throw it up, not fuck up because he's stupid. And then... you know, have a good running game and a fucking good defense.
And great defense. But I don't know. I just don't see Jacksonville being a threat.
I think that Belichick literally made the Josh Gordon move a little bit out of desperation because he was like, this is our biggest competition in the AFC right now. And we can't fucking beat their defense
whatsoever.
Well, you know
what? Actually, if you put Josh Gordon on the outside, you're going to have to put someone on him.
Yeah.
You can't just leave him one-on-one with... You know,
doesn't
your
matter
slot
who it
cornerback.
Is.
Yeah. You're gonna have to put someone decent on him, And you don't want to double cover Josh Gordon on the Patriots, so yeah. You're going to just put a cornerback on him. It could open up the rest of the offense.
The best thing that they did was get Josh Gordon, because he's a giant. He's 6'3". He looks like and runs faster than Gronkowski. He's going to be... It doesn't matter. He could play this week and literally run nothing but fly routes.
Well, how much different could he be than Kenny Britt?
I don't think Kenny Britt's that fast.
No, but I'm saying, like, Kenny Britt came on the team the end of last year and had, like, three great games.
Yeah. I think he played literally half a game and didn't do shit.
He had the giant block.
Are you dreaming? That's Michael Floyd.
Oh, that's right. That was 2 years ago. Yeah, that's right.
This is a Patriots podcast, Tyler.
I'm slacking.
I don't forget things. But
you really don't.
Kenny Britt he was slow. He was supposed to be good, and then he tore his hamstring. So they went out and got an upgrade. They got a younger, faster version who everyone thinks, and everybody in the NFL thinks is a fucking all-pro.
Yeah.
But just has problems with the NFL law. You know what I mean? So they literally, he could go out there. Josh McDaniels could say, "You're going to run a fly route right now." And they're going to have to put, if they put a single, they single cover him, Brady will throw it up to him. They double cover him, Gronk's going to be open. And when Edelman comes back, it's going to be single coverage on Gronk and Gordon. And then Edelman's going to be fucking single covered.
This really is actually, it's and with Dorsett on the field too. And then, yeah.
Hogan really is compliment. And then finally you got, Patterson can be your fucking lightning bug. You're silly play guy, you know.
He's Patterson, honestly, like, he's not that much different to Amendola to me.
What?
A regular season Amendola.
Be more different.
Dude, Amendola is an average receiver in the regular season.
Yeah, in the regular season, but in the playoffs,
he's a
legend.
Monster. He really is a Patriot, a legend. Yeah. But in the regular season, like, he's throwing ball. Amendola's doing that type of shit.
Yeah.
He's getting reverses.
That's what it is. He gets reverses. He does just little silly plays, fucking bubble screens. He does, like, the little stuff just to get the ball. He's a yak guy, a yards after the catch guy. They throw him the ball so he can run with it and make plays with his feet. There's nothing about him that's special.
No, he doesn't run good routes and he can't really catch the greatest.
No, he can't.
Yeah.
He's an average guy.
Yeah.
He's just really fast.
Crazy fast.
Brady, Belichick, I think it's backfiring a little bit because Belichick got him to be a kick returner and they won't kick to him. No. They're just kicking it deep.
Well, it doesn't. The new kickoff rules, you can't kick it to the one and get to the 25 in time.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like it used to work because you have to be like 2 yards from the, which, what the fuck is the real difference?
I don't know.
Like, if someone's returning a kick and you're running 47 yards or 50 yards, your hit's going to be any different?
Do you see this new rule in college? I didn't even know it existed, but like, if they kick it to you and it's in the field of play, you can just fair catch it and get it at the 20.
Like, no matter where you are?
Yeah, no matter where you are.
Oh, that's so,
like,
fucking
if
terrible.
If they kick it to you at the 1 and you see guys coming down, you're like, I'm going to fair catch it. And you get the ball at the 20.
All right, well, football's over, and Tony and I just want to sign off. This is going to be the last Malcolm. Yeah.
Kickoff return is one of the funnest plays in the NFL.
How about, what do you think about the rule about, so did you see the Clay Matthews hit?
Yes.
Compared to the Brady hit?
Yeah, and it was the exact same thing, basically.
I don't think either one of them are penalties.
I don't think either one of them are penalties. Yeah, I don't get why it was called a penalty. What was he?
Because the new rule is you can't put your body weight on a quarterback when you tackle them.
Well, that's nice. It's literally impossible to tackle a quarterback. You can't hit him below. You can't hit him below the waist. You can't hit him high, and you can't fall on them when you're tackling them. It doesn't make any sense. Body weight goes into a tackle.
Yeah, you have to finish a tackle like it's missionary sex.
Yeah,
with like your elbows right above them and just hovering over.
Socks on.
Yeah, just your socks.
So I want to power rank. Let's do power rankings. Pew, pew, pew. Power rankings. Pew, bow, pew, bow, pew. Power rankings of the Patriots' problems. How do you power rank these problems? Kicker, Tom Brady's deep passing, which I think looked kind of ugly in this game.
Yeah, but
I think a lot of that has to do with the defense, but and desperation throws, but it was ugly. He wasn't throwing anything deep. Foxborough weed dealers. And Patriots place bars. That's a power ranking. Defensive communication and defensive injuries. What of that is your, would you say is the biggest problem if you're going to power rank them?
The biggest problem?
Yeah.
I'm going with the least of my worries is Brady's deep ball.
Okay.
Then after that, defensive communication I'm not worried about.
Yeah.
Patriots weed dealers could...
That's ugly.
Yeah, that's
I'm nervous. That makes me nervous. There's not a lot to do down in Foxborough, if we're going to be honest.
This South Shore is just a fucking mess in general.
It makes me nervous. That whole area makes me nervous because there's nothing to do. Josh Gordon's going to get a little nervous one day. He's going to be...
Where is he living? North Attle... Attleboro is a terrible... He should move to, like, I don't know, somewhere like Dedham where they do good comedy shows on Saturday nights. Like, maybe this weekend, like Victoria's
Pump. For instance.
Yeah, just saying, like, Dedham seems like a nice town you should go to. What's he going to do up there, you know? Victoria's Pub, I don't know, maybe
check
8 p.m. this Saturday. But I don't know. I think the biggest worry is the injuries on defense, for sure.
Yes, I think that is a big problem. So for me, I'd say I'm a little bit – defensive injuries is my number one. I'm a little nervous about Trey Flowers going down and Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung is a lot bigger – to this defense and people give him credit for.
He plays like seven positions.
Yeah. He is one of the top safeties in the NFL and nobody gives him credit for
it. Yeah. He's just not like a big time. He's not a big hitter. He's not a big anything. He's
he
just
covers tight ends.
Does everything.
Better than anybody in the league. Covers tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, and he stops the run. He plays down linebacker. He plays cornerback. Slot cornerback.
He does literally everything they ask him to.
Yeah. And he's a good at all of them. Yeah. Trey Flowers, our best defensive player, out. That's going to be ugly. I'm honestly a little bit nervous about Tom Brady's deep ball. I mean, not much
throwing
can change
it to is
the problem.
My thing,
throwing he was throwing a lot of it was desperation stuff, which I
and
hate.
Dorsett and
Hogan,
they're not good deep ball. Like Dorsett, I mean Hogan catches the deep ball when you know they run like a you know somehow. Get him open.
Yeah.
But he's not beating someone one-on-one.
No, he's not.
And Dorsett doesn't run a... He's not a good route runner. Like, if Josh Gordon's wide open and yeah. they're missing him, then there might be problems.
Yeah.
Cooks was open on kind of a lot last year, and Brady would miss him.
He'd underthrow him a lot.
But Cooks is real good at getting flags downfield, which is... So hopefully that could be another thing Gordon could be good at, but I'm not worried about that. Until, you know...
Yeah.
More problems coming from it.
We'll see. We'll see. The power rankings shall wait and see. Find the Detroit game. Going in to Detroit. Oh, man, we're already at an hour. Let's get through this quick then. Detroit. I'm excited to see Tom Brady play against a Patriots defense. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah. You're finally going to see what it's like for Tom Brady in practice playing against a Patriots defense with lesser players, in fact.
This feels like they're going to kind of run.
I think they're going to run. Them. Yeah, I think they're going to steamroll them,
coming
too.
Coming off a loss. Like,
yeah, an ugly loss, too,
yeah,
against
and
the top
Sunday
team.
Sunday Night Football.
I think the team's going to be jacked up.
In Detroit, the AC is going to be probably around 65, just where Brady likes it.
Nice and
Patricia
chilly.
Is probably a nice enough guy to ask Brady where he likes his AC.
Yeah. Put it 68, little breeze.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice. It's going to be fucking jacked up inside, what do they call that? Ford Field?
Ford
Field. Patricia's lost the team. They hate their coach.
They really do.
They hate their coach. I get, hold on. I have a sound clip for that. I'm really fast. So hold on. Let's keep talking about that.
They
hate their coach. There you go.
I want to say this very clearly. They hate their coach.
That was great timing, Tony.
That was perfect. What's that from? I mean, again, it's...
That's from fucking Boomer and... What's his name?
Tom Jackson.
Tom Jackson from when he said it about Bill Belichick against the... When they cut Lawyer Malloy.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a good
pretty
one.
Classic clip. So, the one thing that makes me nervous about this game is that no coach in the NFL knows the Patriots' offense and defense better. Other than Belichick. There is fucking no other coach that knows...
Yeah, but thank God they have Stafford.
Yeah.
He's not
Stafford,
even going to win.
This is such a dumb team. Like, I watched when Detroit came to New England, like, 4 years ago, whatever it was. It was like, the Lions were somewhat not in it, but it was like they were down, like, 17 or something in, like, the early fourth quarter. And they went for it on fourth down and, like, 8. And he ran. He got like he got open and he ran. And he had the first down easily. And then the safety come bearing down. And then he ran out of bounds before the first down marker. And I was like, what did he just do? Why? I was like, how dumb could you be? He easily could have got the first down, but he ran out in front of the first down marker.
Someone, I forget who said it, but someone said that Stafford's going to go down as like 10, 20 years from now. People are going to be like, who's this guy, Matt Stafford? He has like some of the best stats in NFL history. It's like, you didn't watch him. He's just a really bad quarterback.
He threw for a million yards and a million touchdowns, but he also had a zillion interceptions.
He never makes the play when it matters. He's a typical Georgia quarterback. I hate to say it. I like Georgia. They're my kind of one of my teams, but
Bulldog.
He just doesn't. He's just not like a winner.
No,
he's like Jay Cutler. He's the same type of player. Like can sling, make all the throws. But does anyone
rocket arm?
Yeah, no one really plays for him. He's not
a leader. He's good. I mean, you're saying he's not a leader.
He could put up like five touchdowns and 500 yards against his team. Like who knows? But like realistically, he's gonna probably throw a couple red zone picks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's not a fucking stud.
No,
he can throw, make all the throws, but these are the type of offenses that don't scare me when they play the Patriots. It's the teams like Philadelphia or what Jacksonville did last week. Quick receivers get underneath the fucking defense. They run quick crossing routes. These teams that
they have no running game over there.
These teams that are vertical completely don't scare me ever. Like a lot of the NFC North teams do this, and they never beat the Patriots.
Because McCourty and Harmon can eat this shit up. Harmon is a fucking – he's a real good safety,
good
too.
Good deep safety, yeah. So they they're going to have to play fucking – now I'm just thinking about – without Chung, they're going to have to start one of those rookie corners.
I think it's – you're going to end up seeing Jason McCourty
playing safety
or corner. I think it's going to be Harmon and McCourty or the other McCourty get the start, and then Jason will come in and play a lot of that linebacker safety stuff.
We'll see how he does doing that. But they get the worst run defense in the NFL. They give up 180 yards a game.
Jesus.
Running. Two games they've played, they've given up 180 yards rushing a game.
There's only one running back in the league that averages more than 100 yards rushing a game.
Who's that?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not a Patriot.
We're not
back.
A stat guy.
Yeah.
We're not a stat podcast.
All right.
There's only one running back game that averages more than – yet they've managed to give up 180 a game.
It's impossible. I don't even know how it's done.
That's bad. That's
like – but – on the flip side, they're giving up like the least passing yards per game because they're too the other team's too busy running.
Yeah, why would you bother?
Yeah, so
who do they? So they they got killed by the Jets.
Yeah, they got killed by the Jets. They got beat by San Francisco on the road last week.
Yeah, that was a close game.
Jimmy G.
Yeah,
they're giving up a ton of points. It's like 39 points a game they're giving up, or they gave up anyway.
I'm not. Yeah, there's nothing that the only thing that is kind of exciting is Patricia.
Yeah,
but that team hates him. They say they practice way too hard.
Yeah, he's trying to turn them into the Patriots, but it doesn't seem like Detroit players want to give in at all.
Or
they want
like,
to play like they're in Detroit.
You have to have a certain amount of charisma that Belichick has to be able to pull that off, and these guys just go and say, like, oh, this is what we did, let's just do it. But it's like, you're not explaining why we're doing this. You're not getting me excited to do like any of this work. Like, they're just doing it. No one wants to just...
Nobody wants to run to run.
No.
They get three solid receivers. They're all the tall, fast type guys. The only one that scares me is Golden Tate, though.
Is he playing? Because he's been
back
and
forth.
Yeah,
he played last week.
Oh, he did?
He's a good player, and he's like a type of – he's a Patriot type receiver, just a quick
– yeah.
You know.
They have Marvin Jones who can
– Marvin Jones and that kid Kenny Golladay. He's been playing really good. He's on my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah.
He was a big fantasy pick this year. It was Kenny Golladay. But like I said, they're more of a vertical offense. It doesn't scare me as much. The only thing that scares me is that Patricia knows the offensive defense inside and out. But, I mean, can he really teach the Detroit Lions? I don't know. Can he teach these guys in 1 week? Can he game plan good enough to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? I don't think so.
I don't know. You lose fucking 45-7 to the Jets. It's like...
They had so many fuck-ups that week. Like, their special teams was a disaster.
Stafford threw six picks that game, I think.
I don't know.
Five or six picks.
I only watched, like, a quarter of it, and I was like, I can't believe the Jets are winning this
game. It was something... Or maybe combine the team. He might have thrown five, and the backup came in through one, but it was something like five or six picks.
That's bad.
They're just not good.
The Lions, they're in desperation mode now. They're 0-2. Sunday night football at home. Sunday night under the lights. Carrie Underwood. The whole shebang. I don't know. I'm looking for the offense, honestly, the Patriots offense, to move up and down the field on this team. I could easily, the Patriots should be in the mid-30s in this game, went touch yeah, scoring. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially because I think the defense should have a yeah. big game.
Their best player, the cornerback, is injured. He's got a concussion. What's his name? I can't even remember his name. Slade, Shed, something like that. Anyway, he's hurt. Slay. Darius Slay.
As I said, Shed.
Shed.
Davon Shed.
They get nobody. Nobody on their defense scares me. Ziggy
I can't
Ansah,
name a single guy.
Ziggy Ansah is
oh, they might
good.
Have Tavon Wilson still.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you. That's what you need to think about. I tweeted once that they gave up a long bomb. Like the fucking Jets scored a long touchdown, like 40 yards. And Patricia's looking at his little iPad thing, and he rolls his eyes and, like, gives it up. And I just tweeted a picture of that, and I was like, when you go back in time and Tavon Wilson's your deep safety yeah. again.
That's exactly how yeah. I knew Tavon Wilson was on the team. Yeah, I'm not – I mean
– the defense has to show up this week, too. I can't have them going into a shootout with the Lions. Can't
no,
have it.
But I think this is a great game for Rowe to get back. Yeah.
This is a good game. This is a – get back to fucking Patriot football game.
Yeah, Gilmore, Rowe, and Jason McCourty, huge games by yeah. all of them. I think they're just going to play. Yeah, I mean, even that last game, though, it's I don't know. The Jacksonville game, it's like, it just felt weird. It's like they never just kind of got their feet under them. It never looked like they got kind of.
Yeah, they got fucking swept away. They got yeah. their heads kicked in, and it's. You know, it's games like that that get them going and get them ready for this
yeah.
for the NFL season, really. They're fucking just like Carolina last year and fucking Miami last year, the year before. They yeah. fucking every loss that gets them going, they'll get fired up. They haven't lost two games in a row since 2015. So, I don't expect it to just go this week. I think the Patriots are going to win 38-21.
Yeah, I'm on the I'm thinking 32-17.
Okay. A little bit more reserved than yeah. me. Anyway, went over time here. 1:10, but whatever.
Just a little extra pod for you.
Yeah, you guys enjoy yourselves. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully the Pats do it. Josh Gordon, stay off the loop. And go Pats, go.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The pass is intercepted. Big drop by Kyle Law. 30, 25, 20, 15, touchdown, touchdown. Kyle Law picks it off and takes it to the house. Lewis, 10-4, Adam Vinatieri, 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go, snap, ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good.
I love you. I love you. You're the
greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.